Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
Well, the college football season is here. Yesterday, both Washington State University and the University of Idaho played football games. They were both away. If you are a Wazoo cheerleader, you're very happy. They played a good game. The Vandals, not so much, unfortunately. But next weekend, they will both be playing home games up in Pullman and Moscow. And so if you'd like to watch these football teams, you can go and watch them. Of course, you just can't walk into the stadium. You're going to have to buy or somehow procure a ticket. You are on the outside, and the only way that you can get in is if when you walk up to the gate, you show the gatekeeper a ticket, and they will let you in. And this is really the way that so many things work in the world, that if you don't have something and you want something, if you're on the outside and you'd like to get in, you need to somehow, well, earn your way in. You need to figure out some way of being able to show yourself worthy of being able to come in. And most things have a gatekeeper of one kind or another to check and make sure that you have the proper credentials, that you have purchased the proper ticket, whatever it may be. That's how the world works in so many ways. And the unfortunate thing is because we're used to this in the world, people within the Christian faith, people who really should know better because Scripture teaches something very different, have come to the conclusion, or they certainly live as if they've concluded, that the Christian faith is also outside in. That God is on the inside, and we're on the outside, and if we'd like to get to God, well, we need to earn our way there. We need to practice good works. We need to live a certain way. God has told us His will for our lives. He's given us His laws. And if we want to get in from the outside, we're eventually going to make it to a gate. And there'll be a gatekeeper. And the gatekeeper will ask for the ticket. And we better have found a way to earn our ticket. Many people, including, unfortunately, many Christians, see our faith as an outside-in proposition. But what Scripture teaches is it is not outside-in at all. Indeed, it is the very opposite. Our faith is inside-out. Our faith consists of God, who is on the inside, who reaches out to us. And if by faith we accept what He has to offer, we are already on the inside. There is no ticket we have to buy. There is no merit that we have to earn. Indeed, we can't earn it. If we come to the gate and we say, "Look at what I have done," we will be turned away, outside in. But if instead we come to the Lord and we say, "Thank you for what you have done for us," inside out, well, then we get to be a part of the life of God. Jesus was having supper with His disciples. It was the night before He would be crucified. And during that supper, He took a cup. And He said, "This cup is a new covenant in My blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sin." My blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. Inside out. See, Jesus is on the inside. He always has been and He always will be, right? He is the Son of God. And so what does He do from the inside out? He comes into the world. Indeed, he comes to us outsiders. And he says, I am going to die on a cross for you so that your sin may be forgiven, symbolized by the cup. This cup is my blood shed for you, inside Jesus, outside us. All we need to do then is to receive it, to believe in it, and our sin is forgiven. Not because of any works that we have done on the outside, but because of what the insider has done for us. And all we need to do is trust it and receive the gift. That is Christianity. That is what Scripture teaches. It is inside out. It is God the Son coming and providing for us on the outside that we may be with Him on the inside. And so it is with the Father. That most well-known verse, John 3:16, makes it so clear that the Father is an inside-out God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The insider loved us outsiders, and He loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son. He sent His Son into the world, inside out. That whoever believes, all we need to do is believe. All we need to do is trust that this God, this inside God, has come to us and invites us in based on what He has done, not based on anything that we have done or we are doing or we need to do. Jesus doesn't come to us on the outside and says, "What have you done for me lately?" Instead, He comes and says, let me share with you what I have done for you. Isn't there anything I need to do? Nope. Nothing you need to do. Indeed, nothing you can do. I've already done it. All you need to do is receive it. The Father comes to us and says, I want you to be my child. Don't I need to earn that? Don't I need to do something to become your child? And He says, nope. I've already done it for you. In my Son, you become a child of mine through Him. All who believed, all who received the Son, to them gave He the power to become children of God, inside out. So we have the Son, we have the Father, and we also have the Spirit. Just as much as the Son and the Father are necessary for this inside-out reality to be true for us by faith, so we need the Holy Spirit. Again, oftentimes in Christian circles, there's a misunderstanding, as if the Holy Spirit is like an addendum, like an add-on, once you become a Christian, if you want to dabble in some of that Holy Spirit stuff, you know, feel free. There's a church down the road that really gets into it. You know, you might want to stop by to see what that's like. But we're just into the Son and the Father. That's a complete misunderstanding. And that's why we're going to spend several weeks talking about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary and required for the inside-out ministry of God to come to each one of us. For you see, the Son came into the world, but the world did not understand the Son, or the world did not see the Son, or the world, which is darkness, did not perceive the light. It's expressed in different ways. But just because the Son coming inside out shows up to us outsiders, it doesn't mean we get it. Just because the Father says He loved the world so much that He sent His Son, oh, we can read that, but so many of us read that, we hear that, and we kind of go, so what? Scripture is clear. It requires the Holy Spirit. One way in which it's expressed, both Old and New Testament, is the scales need to drop from our eyes. Or as we will see in the Scripture that we'll read here in a few minutes, the veil that is before us needs to come down. It is the veil that keeps us from seeing the true Christ who comes inside out. It's because we live in darkness, we live in misunderstanding, and also we live in pride. We want our way and we want salvation done in the way that we want to do it. We don't like the fact that God comes and says it's a free gift. We go, no, I'd like to earn it. You know, I need to earn my way in this world, and I need to earn this too. I mean, thank you very much. That might be for the weaker people. I'm going to earn my way in. I'm going to show myself worthy. I'm into outside-in religion. I'm going to punch my own ticket. And when I show up at the gate, by golly, God will say, wow, you really did a good job. Come on in. It is absolutely necessary for the Holy Spirit to be at work in our hearts, said Scripture, so that the scales fall from our eyes, so we truly understand and are able by faith to receive what an inside-out God has done for us through the Son and through the Father. The Spirit is absolutely necessary for salvation. In a couple of weeks, we will look at John chapter 3, where Jesus says to a man named Nicodemus, unless you are born of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, capital S, Spirit, unless you are born of the Spirit, you will have nothing to do with the kingdom of heaven. The Holy Spirit has to be a part, along with the Father and the Son, of this inside-out work of God. And indeed, once the Holy Spirit comes and brings us through the Father and the Son into a relationship, not because of anything that we have done, but everything that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit has done, then the Spirit remains with us. The Spirit, Scripture says, lives within us to continue our walk on the inside. See, it's not just a matter of coming inside. Now we need to live that inside-out life. And the only way we can live that inside-out life is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowering us. The Holy Spirit encouraging us. The Holy Spirit pointing out when sinfully we have floated back into outside-in living, trying to earn our way. No, not our salvation, but now we're trying to earn our, well, the spiritual word, the religious word is sanctification. It is a fancy way of saying to be made more like Christ, to become holy. Well, the Holy Spirit is necessary for that. So the Holy Spirit is not only part of our salvation, He is part of our sanctification. And we as Christians need to learn how to live every day in the power of the Spirit. And that's what we'll be talking about during this sermon series on the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit helps us to live an inside-out life. For most of us, He has already brought us inside in terms of salvation. But just as we needed Him for our salvation, so we need Him for our sanctification. We have a mission statement as a church. If you're not sure what it is, all you have to do is turn around and look at the wall. It's written right there. That's our church's mission statement: to know Christ, to become like Christ, to share Christ. It is an inside-out mission. It begins with to know Christ. You have to know Him before you become like Him. And the only way you can get to know Him is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The only way you can become like Him is through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the only way that you're able to share Him with the world is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and to see how Paul puts it. This is a great chapter that he writes on the Holy Spirit, and moving into chapter 4. If you've been participating in our Bible reading plan this last week, you had a chance to read through this entire chapter as well as the first 7 verses in chapter 4. This morning we're just going to have time to look at 2 verses in chapter 3, but I hope through your own reading that you will understand this in context. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, this is what Paul says. For the Lord, that is Jesus Christ, for the Lord is the Spirit. And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, here it is again, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him, that is, like Jesus, as we are changed into His glorious image. When Paul says the Spirit is the Lord, he is not saying the second and the third person of the Trinity are one and the same. No, they are different personalities within God, but their purpose in our life is the same. The purpose of Jesus, the Lord, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is the same within us, which is to bring us to the Father, to be able to move us from the outside to the inside. But the way in which they do it is they don't come and say, this is what you must do. Rather, they come and say, this is what we have done for you. Will you accept us? Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, the Holy Spirit, who comes to live in you, having given you new birth. Will you by faith trust? That is what Paul means when he says the Lord is the Spirit, and he says the Spirit of the Lord. See, there was a day that Jesus was with his disciples. And it was wonderful to have Jesus there, because all the disciples had to do when people wanted to know about Jesus was to go, well, he's right there. See him, listen to him, believe him. I mean, we're just here. We're the entourage. We're just kind of here. But he's the guy. And then one day Jesus says, well, I'm actually about to leave. That's terrible. Now, you are the ones who are going to reflect me to the world. Whoa, time out. How is that going to work? We're not like you. I mean, we're fine pointing to you, but we're not like you. We're just fishermen. We're tax collector. We're zealots. We aren't like you. And Jesus says, I know you're not, but when I go, I will send someone to you, and he will transform you, he will change you more and more so you're like me. Yeah, people won't have me to look at anymore, but they're going to have you to look at. And I want you to reflect me. So let all of us who have had the veil removed, that is, through the Holy Spirit, come to understand who the Lord truly is by His Holy Spirit. Let all of us reflect the glory of the Lord. See, that's what the Spirit is here to do, is to change us more and more to become like Christ so that we are reflecting Him. The Christian life is not just about becoming a Christian. It's not just being born again. It is living a life that reflects Christ to the world. So how does the Spirit do that? And how do we come alongside the Spirit? And how do we work with the Spirit? And what can we do? And what does the Spirit do? And how do, that's what we're going to be talking about here these next 5 weeks. And indeed, after our stewardship series, we'll come back and have a few more weeks on talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the one who lives within us and who's seeking to transform us and change us. But remember how He's doing it from the inside out. From the inside out. You become a Christian from the inside out as you receive what God has done for you. But you also become like Christ from the inside out. Just as you can't work for your own salvation, neither can you work for your own Christ-likeness. Those Christians who say, thank you for saving me, God, but now the Christian life, I got it. I'm good. You know, go take care of other people who need you. But, you know, I'm supposed to go to church. I'm supposed to give a little bit of money. I'm supposed to help people. You know, I know the list. And I can do the list. And I just live the list, and then I'll grow, right? No. That's a reversion to outside in. And God says, no, it continues to be inside out. And the inside that I've given you for this Christian living is the Holy Spirit. You need to learn how to be in touch with Him, to listen to Him. You need to learn to let Him empower you. See, the Apostle Paul had learned this in his life, and he'd learned it the hard way through his own personal experience. Paul says in verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And he's not just talking about kind of the world out there. He's talking about his own life. He said, when the Spirit of the Lord came into my life and began to live in me, I started experiencing a freedom. Now, what's he talking about? It's a freedom from something. And it's a freedom for something. Here's what it's freedom from for Paul and for anyone who lives like Paul. See, Paul grew up as a Jew. And as a Jew, he was told that in order to get on the inside with God, in order to be righteous with God, in order to be in a right relationship with God, being on the outside, he need to live a really, really good life. He need to do his very, very best to obey all of God's rules and show himself worthy of being allowed in. And that's how he lived his life. But what he found as he tried to live that way, and he was really good at it, he was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were really good. They knew all the rules, and they worked really, really hard to live the rules. Outside in. And in fact, most of them thought that they had really made it pretty far inside already, certainly much farther than anybody else. But, says Paul, part of what I realized also is that I wasn't perfect. I kept messing up. I kept sinning. And what I came to recognize is actually I was a slave to sin, by which he means I, in my own power, was unable to master sin. Every time I thought I had the rules down and I was living the right way, all of a sudden something, you know, rose up and bit me. I messed up again. I kept, as he says in Romans chapter 7, doing the things that I really don't want to do. And so I kept on sinning, and I realized that I was never going to be able to be perfectly without sin. So sin was like my master. I was like a slave to sin. It controlled me. Even though I was trying my very hardest to control sin, it wasn't working. So I was a slave to sin. I needed to be freed from that slavery, and that is what the Holy Spirit did for me. Because I came to understand something very critical, that no longer is God saying to me through his Holy Spirit, Paul, you need to be a really good outside person in order to come inside. He says, I've already done for you on the inside what you're trying to do for yourself on the outside. Or you're trying to get your sin forgiven. It's already happened through my son. All you need to accept it. Or you're trying to figure out what to do when you do sin. I've already taken care of it. All you need to do is confess it, and I will forgive you. Or you're trying to be perfect on the outside by your own effort. I've already made you perfect because you belong to me. You're my child. I won't have any imperfect children. Oh, but I keep sinning. Oh, yeah, we still have work to do, Paul. But it's inside-out work. It's not, Paul, now you're a Christian. Now go back and try to live a better life than you did before. See, the old outside-in is Paul saying, I keep trying to do my best for God, and it just isn't good enough. Inside-out is God saying, I'm doing my best through Paul. And it is the Holy Spirit that is changing Paul so that Paul is becoming free for something. He's becoming free for living God's way. Freed from trying to work his way in. Everything has already been done for him on the inside. Now he's freed for living God's way. Let me illustrate it this way. Imagine, if you will, a young man who wakes up one morning, and as he wakes up, he's laying there in bed and stretching and getting ready to get up. He starts thinking about his dad. And he starts thinking about all the things that his father has done for him over the years. How much his father clearly loves him and cares for him. And how much he, as a son, loves and cares for his father, and how grateful he is for all that his father has done for him. And he decides, before he even gets out of bed, that morning, as soon as they've had breakfast together, he's going to go out and he's going to mow the lawn and he's going to wash his dad's car. Just because he's grateful. Just because he's thankful for his father. And he wants to show his father that. That's inside out. That is a love that this young man has within him that has been built because of the love of the Father that now starts coming out in these particular acts of gratitude and of service and of care, expressing what he is experiencing inside out. Now take a different young man. This young man also wakes up in the morning and he starts thinking about everything he wants to do that day, all of his plans, all of the things that he wants to accomplish. And he rushes down to breakfast and he wolfs down breakfast to get out of the house and to start his day. And as he starts moving out the door, his dad says, "Son, just a minute. Before you do anything else, I need you to mow the lawn and wash my car." Outside in. A young man who is not at all thinking about, oh, it'd be wonderful to do those things, but it's a command. The father says, "This is what you must do." And most sons would probably go do it, but not very lovingly, not out of gratitude, out of obligation, out of fear. You know, whenever we're told to do something outside in, we become rebellious. We don't like people telling us what to do. And when we see God as being an outside-in God, a God who grabs us before we have a chance to go out and live life the way we want to and say, "Hey, hold on there. I got work for you to do." Well, if we're scared enough of hell, we may do it. If, you know, we've been raised by parents who said this is just the way it's got to be, then we might do it. But outside-in religion kills love. Outside-in religion, the religion of obligation, the religion of good works in order to earn your way in, is never going to understand Jesus when he says, "The great commandment is to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself." And you go, "I try really, really hard to love God, and I try really, really hard to love my neighbor, and I just struggle all the time." Yep, you do, because you're working outside in. You hear that as a commandment. But if you are living inside out, if the Holy Spirit is bringing the love of God within you, love of God is simply a response to what's already in you. And love of your neighbor is a response to what is already in you. You are becoming what you're being asked to do. Another thing we'll look at in a few weeks is what we call the fruit of the Spirit. What's the first fruit of the Spirit? Love is the first fruit of the Spirit. Why is it a fruit of the Spirit? Because you can't have it without the Spirit. Fruit just simply means it is a product of, right? That's simply what that image means. If the Spirit is in you, then love is going to be a product. But love is never something that you can go out and manufacture on your own in your own strength. You cannot love God and you cannot love your neighbor from the outside in. Only from the inside out. And then the question, well, how do I do that? How do I get in touch with the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit work that in my life? Well, stay tuned and stay reading, because that's what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about how to live an inside-out life. A life that loves out of what is within, not out of an external obligation. A life that experiencing all the fruit of the Spirit. Love is the first one, but there's joy. Would you like to have more joy? Are you working really hard to have joy in your life? Are you going out there trying to earn some joy, to work up some joy, to make some joy happen? What about peace? That's the third one. Boy, those are three big things. If I had love, joy, and peace, I think I could handle most anything. Inside Out says that's exactly what God wants to be giving you. And probably the main reason that you're not picking up on it is you're out there trying to find it. I need some peace in my life. Well, I need to work on that relationship. I need to take care of that problem. I need to fix that thing. Me. Out there trying to make peace happen. Inside out, it's a fruit of the Spirit. Let the Spirit be working in you, and God will be doing His best through you. Stop trying to do your best for God. Let Him do His best through you. Outside in versus inside out. It's a lot to work on. It's a lot to think about. But it is the biblical way. It is God's way. and for us to live God's way, to us to live that inside life, we have to live it by the Holy Spirit. There is no other way to do it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the promises of Scripture, that if we trust in you, in all that you have already done, all that you are continuing to do, all that you will do, if we rely on you, we have everything we need to be able to live on the outside, that life that you give us on the inside. But Lord, it is so hard. We are so used to be people who think that we have to work hard for any good thing, that we have to somehow make something happen if it's going to be something that is worthwhile. It's just the way we are. And so, Father, we really need to focus on what it means to live an inside-out Christian life. Thank you that you have saved us by your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you saved us through the sacrifice of your Son. Thank you for the love of God who put together this amazing plan and through the Son and through the Spirit put it into practice. But Lord, also now, for most of us, as we are in the Christian life, we need you to continue to do in us what you began. Paul says, let God complete the work that he began. And you need to complete it in the way you began it, inside out. So help us to let go of that outside-in thinking, Lord. Help us to see where we're still practicing it. And help us, Lord, to experience through your Holy Spirit how he is going to grow us from the inside out, that we may become more like Christ and so share a reflection of his light, his love and his grace, his peace, his joy, all the other wonderful things that he desires to give us, we in turn can reflect to a needy world. All of this, Lord, is ours through the Holy Spirit if we simply are willing humbly to live an inside-out Christian life. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.